Welcome to the Pentecostal Tabernacle Podcast. We are a Bible-believing church dedicated to restoring lives broken by the consequences of sin. Thank you for joining us as we delve into God's Word, discovering its power to bring salvation, redemption, and transformation to our lives.
It's good to be back up here. It's been a while, but I praise God for all of those who spoke over the last, my goodness, the last 4 weeks, and it is just good to be in the presence of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, a very familiar portion of Scripture. As we head into 2025, the Lord put on my wife's heart, as you know, if you go to morning prayer, they usually go through a book in the Bible, and pretty much for the entire month, for the entire year of 2024, the morning prayer group, which is anywhere between 30 and 50 people, they went through the book of Genesis. And in this year, at least the first half of the year, we're going through the book of Joshua. Amen. Tell somebody I'm ready to cross over. Amen. I'm ready to cross over. Oh, wait, before we say, let's give it a little bit more description. I'm ready to cross over into my promises. Okay. Amen. 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 So we're here to get you ready. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, I'm reading from the New King James Version. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, and said, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Say, arise. And go over this Jordan. Say, go over. Amen. You and all this people to the land which I, the Lord, am given them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall walk upon, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And that great sea going down in the direction of the sun, which is west, that great sea is called the Mediterranean Sea. No man or woman will be able to stand before you or against you only in 2025. No, all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Could you pass me some water, please? The enemy always messes me when I'm preaching, but that's all right, he's a liar. Three times the Lord says this to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide, or you shall give out as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Let me tell you something. Many of you, like me, are walking in blessings that God promised our grandma and grandfather and great ancestors prayed for you and I to get to where we are. So don't get take credit for where you are. Somebody has been praying, and though that person is dead now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 to 40, though they were dead, they died still believing that God will keep his promise. Amen. Ooh, I feel good right now. I just want to say this. My brother-in-law, Donnelly, could you just stand up? Stand up just for a minute. He is a witness. No, no. He is evidence. You may be sitting. He is evidence of my mother-in-law believing God that all nine of her children would get saved. My mother-in-law died 4 years before he gave his heart to the Lord. Let me tell you something. God still honors the prayers of the lips that are no longer living. He swore to their fathers to give them, their fathers being Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only I need you to be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. Say all the law. All the scriptures. All that the Bible says. You do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the scriptures, from the word of the Lord, to the left or to the right or to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Your prosperity is going to be determined by how much you stick to the script. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, no ad-libbing with the script. You don't get poetic liberty to avert from what God says in the scriptures. This book of the law, the Bible, the scriptures shall not depart out of your mouth. This means that you ought to be memorizing it and speaking it. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Even the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, that God chose David, a man after his own heart, a man who was pursuing the heart of God. And David, the first psalm he writes is that the righteous man meditates in God's word day and night. I believe he got that from Joshua. You shall meditate it in a day and night, Joshua, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, if you do all that is written in the scriptures, he goes on to say, you will make your way prosperous. Your prosperity is not based on luck. Stop blaming people and circumstances when God says you will make your way prosperous if you stick to the script. The problem is you need to ask yourself, like many times I ask myself, have I been sticking to the script? Woo, let me just look at the cross. For example, the script says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that your prayers be not hindered. So if your prayers are being hindered, look at the script and ask yourself the question. No, ask the Holy Spirit, because we know what you're going to do. You're going to lie to yourself. Look at all these gifts I gave her for Christmas. The script says, it's quiet in here, isn't it? Even if I don't like my wife, I want to be blessed. So I love her. You know, the scripture says, love your wife. I don't know why I'm saying this. I know the husband said, keep moving on. But love your wife. It didn't say like. Let me just, this is. Just say like. It said love, just like it says love your enemies. You don't have to like them, but you do have to love. Well, what does love mean? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, I don't know why I got on this. Let's start out with this. My degree is in accounting. I wasn't good, but I know certain principles of accounting. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says love keeps no account of being wrong. So while you're keeping an account, I don't know why I'm on this, while you're keeping an account of how you were offended, God is keeping an account on you. And so he inserts in prayer, forgive us our offenses as we forgive those who have offended us. Some of you, you better get rid of your 2024 offense so that you can walk in the blessings of the Lord. I am preaching up in here. It's quiet in here. I don't care how much you fast and decree and all those things. If you have not gotten rid of your account book, your book of accounts, of all the people who have offended you, you better get yourself a spiritual eraser. It's called forgiveness. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. In Old English, the word good means God. You'll have God's success. Have I not commanded you? Oh my goodness. He didn't ask. He didn't say pray. I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Or do not be dismayed. We used to sing an old hymn, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. That word dismayed, one of the definitions of the word dismayed, which really struck me, it means to be broken down by confusion or fear. Yes. To be broke. When you are dismayed, you are broken down by confusion or fear. Be not dismayed when January 20th comes. It was quiet in this church. You will not be teleported from 2025 to 2029. It's quiet in here. You better not be concerned who's going to be in the White House. You better be concerned about who's on the throne. Be not dismayed. Don't be broken down by confusion or fear. Don't be broken down by confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God is not the author of confusion. The opposite of confusion is peace. Peace. He says, for the Lord God is with you, Emmanuel, wherever you go, wherever you go, wherever you go. Wherever you go. If you're going through hell, he's still with you. I want to speak to you on a subject, shift. Tell the person next to you, it's time to shift. It's time to shift. Speak to our hearts, Lord. It's time to shift. Deacon Joyce, who moves in the prophetic, whether she likes it or not, she spoke to our staff during prayer. It was only 7 minutes. It was on Tuesday, December 10th. And the Lord said to me, this is not a word just for the staff. It's a word for the church. And she spoke a prophetic word. And the word was only 7 minutes. And it was on shift. It was prophetic. And we need to understand prophetic because Paul speaks of the prophetic in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Are you with me so far? And he starts out saying that he that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to people, but they speak to God. Howbeit in the spirit, they speak mysteries. Are you hearing me? And then he goes on and he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, edifies himself. When Apostle Joshua Salmon was here, he challenged us. He said, man, if you would speak in tongues 1 hour a day, he said it this word, you'll be a sign and a wonder. Now, these speaking in tongues, if you're edifying yourself, say you're edifying yourself. I'm edifying myself, meaning that whatever we do, okay, by ourselves, it's for ourselves. But when we're in the church, we're trying to do all things that will edify everybody. So Paul says, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So prophecy does four things in the gift. The gift of prophecy doesn't tell the future. Woo, I tell you, you gotta. So prophecy does four things. Paul says, you can read it for yourself. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think it's verse 3. He said, he that prophesies does three things. He prophesies to, I think the NIV says, to console. And to console simply means to alleviate disappointment. It means to alleviate grief. So the prophetic consoles, the prophetic urges, or we call it exhort. It's like, come on, get moving. God wants to do something. He wants to bless you. The word prophecy, it also is to encourage. In the word encourage is the word C-O-U-R, and it's really an extended form of the etymology of a word which is C-O-R, and C-O-R simply means heart. So when you encourage somebody, you put heart in them. When you encourage them, you build up their heart. Are you following me? Because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4, verse 23, because out of your heart flows your issues. Your heart is very important. Even David understood the importance of the heart where he said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hid where? In my heart. So when you prophesy, you are building up somebody's heart. And then finally, prophecy strengthens. It edifies. So the word that Deacon Joyce gave, it encouraged us, it built us up. And it's just, and I was really excited about this because God also said to me, we're still in the season of August. We're still in the season of August. Wait a minute. It's winter. It was 18 degrees. We're still in the season of August. August, we get from the word August is the word augment. And I always want us to use to help us remember what the season of August will look like. I use the acronym I Hear, and I believe Shauna shared this on Friday at morning prayer. August means increase. Is this your season of increase? Okay, that was yes. Thank you. You said amen. You need to say amen for our family. I don't know about that. August is the season of increase. H. August is the season of you being honored. Some of you have been shamed and disgraced throughout all of 2024, but this is your season of being honored. August is the season of being enlarged. And enlarge in your heart. God cannot enlarge you in the physical until he enlarges you in your heart. It is a season, again, of increase. Thank you, honey. Honor. Enlargement of heart, A, advancement. I love this one. No more being stuck. I'd say that. No more being stuck. No more being stuck. And then R is the raising of the voice of wisdom. You and I are going to need wisdom to really get hold of the promises that God has for us. Wisdom in Proverbs 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the top thing. But with all thy wisdom, get understanding. The good news about wisdom is that it's free. Because James says in James chapter 4, I think it's 4, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives it out liberally. It's a season of shifting, no longer being stuck. When I graduated from Bentley University in 1981, I decided that back then they used to have a term called yuppie. Okay, for you millennials who weren't even born yet, yuppie. And yuppie was young urban professional. And then they had a term called buppy, black urban professionals. And the yuppie and the buppy car was like Audi, and I got a Volvo. And I wanted to be a BMW, black man working. And I pictured myself in three-piece suits because I was an accountant. And no, I had an automatic for a while. And then I've always wanted to learn how to drive a stick shift. Anybody who knows how to drive a stick shift? Okay. And so I said, if I don't learn now, I'll never learn. So I decided to buy a stick shift, having never really driven one. Yeah, I had faith. And at the time, my brother, Elder Roy, who was one of my best friends, still is, he had just bought a beautiful Audi. And so we practiced on a side street, because if you understand a stick shift, there's this, and I gotta show you. So there is one pedal, which is the gas, okay? Most of you know gas. Then there's another pedal next to it, and that's the brake. Are you with me? Then there's another pedal that most of you don't have in your car. It's called the clutch, okay? And so when you have an automatic, the car shifts automatically, so you don't have to really pay attention to what the shift is. You look on your car and you see D1, D2, D3. You have no idea what those are. You just put it in drive and you're going, because the car's doing it by itself. But when you have a standard, you got to shift the gears on your own manually. Are you tracking with me? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to YouTube. So what I didn't realize is that on Elder Roy's car, which he had been driving for 2 years, the clutch was broken in. So I was on a brand new clutch. Now, here's the thing, what happens. There's this sensitivity that when you're switching gears, you kind of have to ease up on the gas and press down on the clutch so that way you won't stall. So I go to purchase the car. If you know where the fire station is in Central Square, the fire station, so here you are on Columbia Street where PT North is, straight up Columbia Street is a fire station. To the left, there used to be a Subaru dealership. I think I have a picture there. Subaru dealership. And so I bought a 1984 Subaru, brand new. I wanted that because it was four-wheel drive, because I live in New England. Back then, you used to have snow, okay? We're just 6 years out of the blizzard of 78. Okay, if you don't know what that's about, some of you were born there then. That's a whole nother story why you were born around then. But anyways. So I knew there was trouble. So back then it wasn't like it is now where you go to pick up your car and they have it ready. Back then, you could actually drive the car out of the showroom. So they gave me the keys and I drove onto Sydney Street, because that was the corner. I knew something was wrong when I couldn't even get the car out of the showroom. The dealer, my salesman had to say, okay, Mr. Green, could you just move out so I can get your car out of here? And then it was like, you're on your own. Say shift. So, of course, no, it's not like it is now. I needed gas. So I'm driving pretty well. I'm staying safely on Mass Ave, and I'm driving through Cambridge, and I get to North Cambridge, and then on the corner of Mass Ave and Alewife-Brook Parkway, okay, I pull into the gas station. Now, at 5 p.m., thank you, you get it, 5 p.m., 5 p.m., it is rush hour. People are trying to get to where they're going. So I get my gas, and I pull out the gas station, and my car stalls in the middle of Alewife-Brook Parkway. And I'm trying to use all I can, and the clutch ain't, and people are swearing at me. The lights turning red and green. They yell, pull the clutch! There might have been some racial slurs in there. I'm getting the your number one sign, and it was just embarrassing because I couldn't shift. Not only did I stall my own progress, there were dozens of other people trying to get to where they needed to go, but they couldn't because I couldn't shift. I'm going to share with you next Sunday about what God had to do some work in Brian Green. My wife and I pray regularly, God, make PT a healthy church. And the Lord said, the church can't be healthy until the leader's healthy. And so I'm going to share with you some, I learned a lot from the men's small group about keeping the conversations hot, honest, open. I thought it was something different, and transparent. So I'm going to share some things with you next Sunday so you can at least look at my faults. The word shift means to change gears in driving an automobile, but also means to move from one place or one position or one direction to another. The word shift means change. The word shift means move. Shauna said it, she must have been in my sermon or something. The word shift means transformation. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I beseech you, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I like the way the NIV says it, which is your reasonable act of worship. Because of all that he's done for you, it is reasonable for you to present yourself. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think has got to be renewed. Why? So that you can prove that God's will fills every gap. God's will fills every gap. What do you mean? God's will is G, good, A, acceptable, and P, perfect. David says, as for God, his way is perfect. I believe it's Psalm 30. As for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 8, rather. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler and shield to them that put their trust in him. God's way is perfect. And thank you, Holy Spirit. It is Psalm chapter 18, verse 30 and 32. His way is perfect. Jesus. The word shift means to be flexible or to bend. When you read the scriptures, it's almost like God said, I need to say this twice. So he says it in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. And then he says it again in Hebrews chapter 3, same verses, 7 and 8. He says, today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Your heart has got to be pliable. Your heart has got to be flexible. Let me give you another definition of the word heart. Your attitude. And what's frightening about this hardness of attitude, he says, the writer of Hebrews says, so we see they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Maybe the thing that's preventing us from shifting is a heart that's hardened to God. And sometimes we can be hardened because we've gone through so much. We almost feel like Job, what's going to happen next? And God is saying, be flexible. I'm still on the throne. I am Emmanuel, meaning I'm still with you. This word shift means change, it means move, it means transform, it means bend, it means turn. Turn. One of the definitions of the word repent is to turn. You were going this way, turn. You are holding accounts against people, erase it and turn. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and the reason why I'm saying this is because God is going to move fast. Deuteronomy chapter 1, God says to Moses, say Moses. He says to Moses, the Lord our God spoke to us saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. You have dwelt long enough in the place where you're at. Turn. And this struck me. Take your journey. Stop waiting for stuff to happen. Take your journey and go. Turn. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn. The first sermon that Jesus preached after John the Baptist died, it says in Matthew 4 verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is within your reach if you and I would just simply turn. Whew. Now what is interesting is Deuteronomy, I think it has 34 verses. Are you tracking with me? So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God says, you've been going around this mountain long enough. Are you with me? Then the next book is what? Thank you. Who said it? Joshua. And in chapter 1, he says, go in. Deuteronomy, he says, you've been here long enough. Chapter 1, are you with me? And then the next book is what? In chapter 1, he says, go in. Many theologians believe that the entire book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters, is the equivalent of simply 1 month. Moses is giving them a history of what happened, and in 1 month he dies. And there's a new leader. Shift. 1 month. 1 month. December, you're one place. January, you're another place. 1 month. Are you ready for the shift? Oh, God, I'm waiting so long. God said, I'm waiting for you to turn, to bend, to be flexible, to shift. Stop being stuck. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming your circumstances, your finances. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But are you ready to repent? Are you ready? Ooh, God gives grace to the humble. See, this is where we need healing, but this is how we quote James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. So when you need healing, pray. James says, confess your faults one to another. Then pray one for another that you might be healed. But too many of us have been bathed in shame so that we don't even want to tell people our true condition. And God desires truth, the scripture says, in the inward parts. Are you ready to shift? Are you ready to move? So he says, one of the things he says about going is go and make disciples. As we go into 2025, we have four goals that we're really going to be investing in and pushing forth in. One of those goals is discipleship. Making disciples, making learners. Why? Because it is the Great Commission, which unfortunately in churches have turned into the Great Omission. He says, and he is in Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go into all the world and make disciples. Make people followers of Jesus. The other thing we're going to do is focus on building up what we call small groups, building up community. I don't know if she created this term, but I got this term from Pastor China, where she says, in community, there's immunity. In community, there's immunity. Show me, the reason why a lot of pastors are falling and messing up is because they have no community, because in community is accountability. It's quiet in here. Who are you accountable to? When I mean accountable, I'm talking about who has veto power in your life to say that's crazy? Who has veto power in your life to say you are wrong? Some of us, we are not going to make it in the promised land. Let me just look at the cross light right now, because we are so sensitive that we can't even be corrected. Preach, Bishop Green. We can't be corrected. We are strong and wrong. I almost lost one of my daughters. Can I preach? I almost lost one of my daughters when she was in the eighth grade. I was given constructive criticism, which was really shame. It's quiet here, honey. So Pastor Chandler, he just started coming around PT. And one of the reasons why I have him coming, to be quite frank with you, is because you need somebody who's going to be tracking with how ministry's going. Because if a new guy comes in, they're thinking that, oh man, this is incredible. But when someone knows you, they can say some stuff. And so he says to me, hey, what's wrong with your daughter? And I said, I don't know what's wrong. I'm just kind of giving some constructive criticism. And he said, well, I don't know what constructive criticism you're giving, but you're injuring your daughter. Now, in my heart, I was saying, dude, I invited you to preach. State. No. Stay the faith out of my business. Come on, can I get a witness out there? Okay, yeah, you know, glory to God. No, I was like, in my heart, it was like, stay out of my business. You just preach, get your honorarium, and get your blessed assurance on the plane back to California. But the Lord said to me, do you want to listen or lose your daughter? So I humbled myself. Are you willing to humble yourself when you're being corrected? And the reason why you're stuck because you refuse to be corrected. And you say it's the devil. You can't fash yourself out of disobedience. Preach Brian Green. Thank you. That's all right. Three claps. I don't care. I'm a witness. I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care how long you fast. I don't care if the glory, if you saw angels we have heard on high. If you are not willing to turn, repent, shift, 2025 December, we will find you in the same place. Oh, you may have a little bit more money. You may have a promotion. But emotionally and mindset, you will be stuck. And you will think you're growing because you know more scriptures and that your gift is doing stuff. But in your heart, you are stuck. Tell somebody, I refuse to be stuck. We're going to increase. We're gonna work on volunteerism, meaning increase our number of volunteers. Why? Because the church is gonna grow. And we want healthy growth. We want healthy growth. We want people who give of their time freely. We want healthy growth. And finally, outreach and evangelism. I wanna encourage you, as you know, hopefully we have, hopefully on the screen there, we'll be renting Kresge Auditorium for Easter. We're taking a big faith step. Kresge Auditorium seats almost 1,100 people. And we're believing that 10% of those people will give their hearts to Jesus. Yeah. One of the things people, at least other pastors, seem to admire about me, and I'm not pat myself on the shoulder. I want to make sure that you understand this, and that is, when God speaks, I try to instantly obey. Instantly obey. And please stand. Not let you know I'm finished. This outreach and evangelism thing, yes, we started in December with the P's and Q's, meaning pizza and questions and Carolyn, but we're really going to launch this outreach starting New Year's Eve service. I want you to invite your unbelieving friends, because we're going to have a service that I want, when they leave our New Year's Eve service, that they will say, wow, I never knew church could be like this. I'm coming back Sunday. Usually we have, I've been doing this, I was raised in this church. So this will be my 65th New Year's Eve. Well, actually my 66th, because I was in the womb then. And so my point is, it's always been focused on believers. Okay. This year is going to be focused on believers and unbelievers. This is us saying to God, You said, God, faith without works is dead. We're going to put in work to see that people come to Jesus. We're shifting, folks. And so I want to encourage you, as we have three more days in the month of December, I really want to encourage you to make a sacrifice. You don't have to do it now, but as you have three more days, including today, make a sacrifice and give to the Christmas offering, because we're really going after unbelievers. We're really going after reaching out, outreach into the community. The principal, Bob Robert Tynes, was just so elated when the new school uniforms came to the Fletcher Maynard. Amen. Amen. I asked him how the service was, and he said, please invite me back. His wife was online, and she texted, she said, she was in tears. God is doing something. And like Henry Blackaby says in his book, Experiencing God, that's a book you should have in your library. He says, find out where God is moving and join him. And God is moving in our ability to shift from the inside to the out. So I'm going to ask you, again, this is not an offering time. I'm asking you over these next 3 days to give. One of the things that I was praising God for, God has blessed us this year, and we were able to give really what was in our heart to give to the Lord. And as I say regularly, I'll say it again, my wife and I usually give a big Christmas offering as a seed to sow for the harvest we want in 2025. Because Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, and that will never cease. What have you planted in 2024 that you expect to walk into the harvest of 2025? When I was a teenager, and we'll pray, Billy Preston had a song. Yep, he had a song called Will It Go Round in Circles. That was the famous one. But he also had another famous song called Nothing from Nothing Leaves Nothing. So if you haven't planted an offering in 2024, why would you expect anything in 2025? Galatians chapter 6, read that. Again, it talks about sowing and reaping. And so we want to encourage you, whether you're in this room or online, to give, because we're really believing God that we're going to be aggressive in going after souls. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, thank you for your patience. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is a good opportunity for you to turn. Jesus, in the scriptures, he asked people to repent and come to him. Repent. Repent meaning just turn from what you were doing. Turn from living life on your own. Turn from doing your own thing and come to Jesus. Not come to church. Come to Jesus. Not come to religion. Come to Jesus. Not come to the preacher. Come to Jesus. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, whether you're online or in the lower sanctuary in this room. The Bible simply says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be, I like what Troy Van Voorhis preached a few weeks ago, shall be rescued. God wants to rescue you and I, not simply from the power of sin, he wants to rescue us from ourselves. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You hear and you say, Bishop Brian, could you pray for me? I want to give my life to Jesus. You can give your life to Jesus right where you are. You don't have to come up front. I'm not here to embarrass you. But what I would like to know who I'm praying for, And so if you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, and you're saying, Bishop Brian, could you pray for me? I'm ready to shift. I'm ready to move in a new direction. And I need you to pray for me that that would take place. If that's you, could you slip your hand up if you want to give your life to Jesus? I see that hand. Are there others? Want to make sure we don't miss anybody. Just lift that hand up high. Want to praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So as your hand is lifted, repeat after me. Everybody repeat so that way the person won't be self-conscious. Dear Lord, I come to you as a sinner. And all that means is Jesus does not live in my heart. So Jesus, I am calling upon your name. I am calling upon your reputation. I'm calling upon you. Come into my heart. Rescue me from myself. Rescue me from my sin. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And right now I know I am God's child. Now, if you said that and you really believe it, then you are saved. You are God's child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer on the chat online, please type on the chat that, hey, I gave my life to Jesus, and somebody will respond to you. If you're in this building and you gave your life to Jesus, please see somebody on the welcome team or go down at the Spice Hub. Oh, is it still called the Spice Hub? Yeah. And we'll give you a Bible. We'll give you all that you need to make sure that you can have a successful walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this church, for those of you who have visited us, we don't give a closing prayer. We give a closing blessing. And so I'm going to ask that you put out your hands to be blessed. The reason why we put our hands like this with our palms faced towards the sky, because James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And I want to bless you with a 7-point blessing, well, 8 points here, that Paul blessed and prayed for with regards to the church that was located at Colossae, book of Colossians chapter 1. And so, may Father God give you wisdom and understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit in 2025. Amen. May the Lord God fill all of us with the knowledge of His will in 2025. May Father God help us to live lives that are worthy of Him in 2025. Amen. May the Lord God help us to please Him in every way in 2025. Amen. May Father God help us to bear fruit that is results in every good work for Him, whether it be on our jobs, our schools, our friends, our families, or wherever God takes us and wherever place we find ourselves. May Father God help us to keep growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and help us to find our true identity in Christ alone and not in what we do and not in what we have. May Father God help us to regularly give Him thanks and appreciation that's full of joy, His joy in 2025. And finally, this has nothing to do with Colossians, but I like this. May we behold the new thing God is doing. Now it springs forth. Help us to perceive it. Help us to know it. Help us to give heed to it. May we live with the realization that God is making a way for us in the midst of our desert places. Amen. And everybody say, I receive that blessing. God bless you and have an amazing week. See you on New Year's Eve.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Remember to subscribe to our podcast to stay connected and continue exploring God's Word with us throughout the week. You can find our show wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn His face towards you, and give you peace.